All right, right here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, this right here, of the many names of Christ, this is perhaps one of the most difficult and one of the most, the least known about name of Christ, that of Everlasting Father. Hold on, see, is my... So right here, one of the most interesting names, if you will, or maybe the least known, is the fatherhood of Jesus. And right here, it's seldom mentioned in the Bible. It's really seldom mentioned by most people. We know of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But what about the fatherhood of Jesus Christ in that? Because that is a name given to him, the Everlasting Father. And we're going to explore that. Now, some people have taken that to mean and created some false doctrines over it. Back in A.D. 318, Arius, a Greek theologian born in Libya, North Africa, came into prominence, and he affirmed that since Jesus was the Son of God, there was a time when he did not exist, and that he was only a created being to whom the Almighty delegated authority. Now, this view was condemned by the Council of Nicaea in AD 321. That's a very famous council to really establish what the church doctrine was at that time. And he was banished and his books were burned. Unfortunately, the doctrine survived. And actually, you hear that a lot of today. Mormonism, Jesus is a created being and has been given authority. And so that kind of false doctrine moves on. And that's not what we're talking about here when we talk about the fatherhood of Jesus Christ. The Bible describes him. You know, some people say, well, I disagree with that. Well, the Bible says he's the Everlasting Father. But what does that mean? What does that mean? And we're going to look at that. So there is a description given here. Now, no man can be a father until he has produced a child. And since God, by creation, produced the human race, he was said to be the father of everything that existed. The term father was never applied to Jesus during his sojourn on earth. And Job claimed to be a father to the poor in Job 29:16. What's talking about? We know that Jesus was the creator. We see that in the New Testament that he is described as the one who was the creator, who created all things. By him all things consist. And through that, without the Lord Jesus Christ, the human race is here. And so in that sense, that he is the Everlasting Father, in that sense, that he is the creator of all. He is our creator. And sometimes we don't view God like this. I'm going to share this this morning. It just so struck me that one of the children that ride the bus, she was coming on the bus and this morning, and she told some of the workers there, said, hey, you know, this is Father's Day. I told my mom this morning I wanted to go to church. She's like, why? I said, well, this is Father's Day. I don't have a father, but I'm going to church to see my father, my heavenly father. Isn't that amazing? That was amazing to me. And so this is an interesting, goes in with the Sunday school lesson, that of being the Everlasting Father, and that Jesus created us. And so we many times we think, you know, and that's what we read in Hebrews, that Jesus understands what we go through. Jesus understands what we feel. Jesus understands our struggles. Now, Jesus never sinned. However, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But also, he created us. He knows what emotions we have. He knows what abilities we have. He knows what weaknesses we have. He created us. He knows every single part of us, and we can be assured of that. Isn't that an amazing thing? That we don't have to worry that God doesn't know what to do or God doesn't know where to direct us. We can always go to him and know exactly what we are supposed to do and what decision we're to make, and on it goes. So right here, that from the very beginning, fathers are expected to do at least three things for their families. Three things. The first being to plan. To plan. If you're a father here today, you need to be planning. And we plan for different things. We plan financially. We plan to provide for our children and our families. We plan what we're going to fix in the house, or maybe try and fix in the house. We have a plan of things. And the schedule of the family, and mom and dad work on that. But the father's job is to plan and to take care of those things. Our Heavenly Father has a plan for us, and Jesus has a plan for our life, a blueprint, if you will. Many times the problems that we have in relationships or the problems in our life are because we're out of the plan of God. We call it being out of the will of God. What is God's will? What is God's plan for us? And some people say this, what right does God have to tell me what to do with my life? You know, some people have that thought that goes through. What right does he have? Well, number one, he created you. He has every right to have a plan for you. And if you're saved, the Bible says you are bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Jesus Christ. He suffered and bled and died for your sin. So we are bought twice. We are first created by God, and then second, we are bought, if we're a Christian, we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans 12 says. It's our reasonable service to serve him and to love him. And by the way, not only that, but many times we view the plan of God and how it's presented is that, well, yes, this is a plan, but perhaps there were other plans. Yes, maybe you had a plan for your life and it was a good plan, but right here, you need to do God's plan. So we need to trade in our good plan for God's plan. We have to get rid of that thinking because our plans are never good. We have to understand that, God's plans are the only correct plans to have. Because he created us and he created us for a particular purpose and gave us gifts and abilities to fulfill that plan. He equips us to do that plan. So any other plan except God's plan is not the right plan and it's not a good one. But that's not how some people view it. Like, well, there's many paths that God can have us go on and we can go our own way and we can do God's plan by way of a detour. Well, if you look at the Bible and you looked at people that did detours and they went around and they detoured around what God wanted them to do, or they took shortcuts and never ended up well. Never ended up well. Anybody that tried to do a shortcut, you see that with Abraham. He tried to do a shortcut and had Ishmael, and that never worked out well. It's still causing problems today. Want to know why we have problems with Iran today? We can thank Abraham for that. And that whole people group came from there, right there, Ishmael. But now, then even David, when he was transporting the ark, he's bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and there was God had prescribed a particular way to do something, to carry the Ark of the Covenant with being borne on stays by the priests, and that was how it was to be carried, but David improved upon it and had a brand new cart made with oxen and put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. But that's not how God instructed for it to be carried, and what happened is that when the oxen stumbled, then Uzzah put his hand out to keep the stead of the Ark so the Ark wouldn't fall off the cart, but the law was that it was depicting the holiness of God and that whoever would touch the ark would surely die. And he died. As well, was his fault? I said, no. Did he think he was going to die if he touched the ark? Probably. That some people believe that he probably knew he was going to die, but he would rather give his life than see the Ark of the Covenant fall off the cart. But whose fault was that? That was David's fault. Because David improved upon God's plan and didn't follow the plan of God. And so we have to understand that as parents, as fathers, plan for their families. Our Heavenly Father has planned our life and has plans for us. Not only to have a plan, but the second thing fathers do is provide. As fathers, we provide for our family. We work a job, and we provide for our families. We earn money. We make wise financial decisions. We got to provide a house, have to provide food and water, have to provide electricity, have to provide transportation to get from place to place, and a safe place to live, a safe vehicle, all of those things. It's our job to provide that. The Bible says that. And it said, the Bible says someone that doesn't provide for their family is worse than an infidel, is worse than an unbeliever. If they're saved and they don't provide for their family, they're worse than an unbeliever because they know the truth of what they're supposed to do and don't do it. But right here, that God provides all things. We're all here. We're all here in this Sunday school class. And I pray we're all breathing. We're all breathing, I hope. Yes, we're all breathing. And we're all our hearts are beating for the moment, right? We're all here. We're alive. Things like that. I'll never forget during vacation Bible school. Now, I think what was it, Isaiah? I think it was. Like, who has blood? Because we're talking about blood and things like Isaiah. So he didn't have any. It's okay. Then we got to save Isaiah here. But I'm never going to forget that one. That was funny. But with We're all breathing. We all have our hearts beating. All blood's pumping through our veins there. And you know why we have our heart is beating and why we have life and why we're breathing today is because God has provided air for us to breathe and has provided us life, has breathed into our nostrils the breath of life as they did with Adam. Now we have the life that God has given to us, our living soul is what we are, that we have life straight from God. God is the giver of life. And God takes life and gives life. That is not man's decision to make, who lives and who dies. And that's exactly what abortion is, choosing to take life away that God has given. And that is what euthanasia is. That's taking away life that God has given. It's not from a young person, but it's from an older person or one that is deemed unworthy to live. That is not man's decision to make. Now, some people say, well, what about capital punishment? Those that have committed crimes, they get the death penalty. Well, the Bible gives specific instructions regarding that, about those that take the lives of another, that they have forfeited their own when they kill someone else in cold blood and murder. But if it's an accident, no, they are not guiltless to go and to be killed and things like that. So God has a provision for everything, but God provides our every need. He gives us a plan to follow, then he provides for us to do it. Isn't that wonderful that we don't have to be left to provide on our own? We're given a provision from God. And the third thing is this, protect. So fathers are to plan, provide, and protect their families. You know, I think we'd all agree. You know, maybe you're the one. What happens in my house every night, I go make sure that all the doors are locked. I make sure everything's all secure. I mean, if there's a thump in the night, I mean, I don't send my wife to go figure out what it was. Not very often anyway. But, you know, not very often. And sometimes, you know, and you know how wives are, you know, and you hear a little noise and she's like, Robert, huh? What? You know, you're just like, and you know, what? I heard a noise. It's fine, dear. Go to bed. No, I really heard a noise. I mean, it happens to every married couple. I heard a noise. Yo, check it out. Where was it? It was in the kitchen. I'm like, well, if it was in the kitchen, then it was, if it wasn't the door, did you hear the door first? No, then it's just fine. It's just something shifting in the cabinet. I just go back to sleep. And then 5 minutes later, can you please go check what's in the kitchen, please? You know, go out there. And you've got to go check. Why? Because it's our job to protect, you know. There's only been a couple of times. I think it was like the first year we lived in our apartment or second year someone was walking by. I don't know why, but like tried to open our door. It was locked though, but you know, in about 2 seconds, had my shotgun ready, you know, and everything. Why? Because that's my job to protect my family. Anybody that comes in my house through my window or comes through the door and trying to steal and hurt my family, guess what? They're not going to be breathing very long with that. And said, Pastor, would you really kill somebody? Absolutely. If my wife and children are in danger, absolutely would. And not that I relish the thought of doing that, but in order for them to be protected, I'd be very much willing to do that. And I don't think people that are very much of a man, if they're not willing to do that to protect their family, is like, well, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, you know, and while you're hiding in the closet. And I think if you're a father and a husband, that you need to be willing to protect your family and not be going overboard with it. But we need to understand something. Guess what? When I'm out in public with my wife and there's guys that start looking at her, you know, and because my wife is, as the Bible said, very fair. And I'm embarrassing her to death right now, but it's fine. But going out, and then there's guys that kind of look at her, you know, they kind of do, and they kind of look this way, and I look at them, I put my arm around her, and I stare them down. I said, hey, she's mine, not yours, so keep your eyes to yourself over there. You know, and to protect, and that's what we need to do to protect, and that's exactly what the Heavenly Father does. If we only knew how much God has protected us from so many things, we would be utterly astounded how much God has protected us physically, spiritually, and also many ways. How many times, I remember in college, never forget, how many times that something happened on the way we're driving home from college, and my GPS took us around a wrong way, got us off at an exit. We're trying to get to a particular place, took us off the weird way off to the right, and we were going through the middle. They're trying to find this gas station took us to the middle of nowhere. It took us like 10 minutes, and we were so super frustrated. And then the gas station was closed anyway. And so we get back on the road and everything. But then I get back on the road. The traffic's all backed up. And that there was a big U.S. mail tractor trailer that had pinned a vehicle right up against the railing of a bridge. And it didn't look very good at all. And as I was driving by, I recognized the vehicle. That had been a vehicle that had just passed me as I was getting off that exit. And so because that GPS made a mistake, but I think the Lord was protecting us. And there was another situation very similar to that. Got off at the wrong exit, then got back on and missed an accident by about a minute or two. And the Lord protects us in that. And we can think of Him and see Him as the everlasting Father. Jesus provides and plans and protects us. And Israel was as God's chosen people. God planned for them and provided for them and protected them. When they were in the wilderness, He provided for their food. He provided protection and gave them victory over their enemies. He led them with a pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day. And that was a protecting presence. He protected them from the Egyptians when they came down upon them at the Red Sea. And so we don't ever need to doubt the protection of God and the plan of God and the provision of God. We should never need to stress or worry. And so look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now Jesus makes a statement about Himself in regards to Father. And this was a question that Philip put to Him, one of His disciples, later to be Philip the evangelist there. And Philip put a question to Jesus, and Jesus had been talking about His relationship with the Father, which is God the Father. John chapter 14, verse number 8, Philip saith unto Him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Meaning, show us the Father. We want to see God. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and he hath not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So right here, Philip had this question. It should be acknowledged that unless the Lord meant what He said, he was mentally deranged, as the book says here. He claimed absolute affinity with God. They thought, spoke, and acted as one person. Had He meant anything else than was suggested, the Lord would have said so. So Jesus had become, for the disciples, their spiritual father, leader, and benefactor, as God had planned, provided, and protected His people. So Jesus, too, would do all that and more for His disciples. He led them. He provided for them. He took care of them. He protected them in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He provided food for them in the 5,000 and the 3,000. He provided and had a plan for each and every one of them. He taught them exactly what they needed to know to carry on His plan after He ascended into heaven. And that Jesus was a father, leader, and benefactor to them. Just like He had been for Israel, now He was for the disciples. So then also, look down at 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, we see another reference here. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, talking about saved people, people that have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. John said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. The apostle failed to see any difference between the two here. John didn't see the difference between the Father and the Son. We have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Have fellowship with both. There wasn't a difference there. When he thought of his heavenly Father, he saw Jesus. When he remembered his Savior, he rejoiced that God had been among men. The Word who was God, having made flesh and dwelt among men, He came in the person, right here we see that this was not a cause for amazement. God had come to earth when he came in the person of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7, verse 3. Description there, Melchizedek is one that Abraham had given sacrifice to and given tithes to. That there is in the Bible, there's theophanies and then Christophanies, which are simply this, that the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, that many people believe that the captain of the Lord's host that appeared before Joshua, before going into Jericho, was Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? Because Joshua fell down and worshiped, and he didn't stop him. Angels always stop people from worshiping them. Very important thing to remember. And that also with even many people believe. Now, this is more debatable, Judges 13. We looked at Samson during Mother's Day. And that some people believe that was a Christophany. That was Jesus Christ when giving the prophecy, if you will, or promising to Samson's parents that they would have a child when his mother was barren. And when he saved the Hebrew, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter 3, we see that Jesus appeared to them. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. I said, didn't we throw three people in there? I said, yes, but there's a fourth like that looks like and unto the Son of God. So right here, John had no difficulty in believing these facts. If he were ever amazed, it was when he wondered how he, a sinner, had been permitted to lean upon the bosom of God, that after all was a privilege only given by a father to those who were precious in his sight. You see, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we see the everlasting Father is a description here. That Jesus, from everlasting, from eternity past, eternity future, he will be our everlasting Father. He was to Israel, he was to disciples, and he is to us today. And that he has a plan, a provision, he protects us, and he cares for us. There is so much that we can be thankful for in our life, that we see God's hand in. If we look and we give credit to God, sometimes the good things happen in our life, and we give ourselves the credit. We give ourselves the credit for maybe we made a good decision and something good came out of it. You know, we sometimes give ourselves the credit. We need to give glory to God in that, because we wouldn't know how to make that wise decision unless we had God's word and unless we had the thinking and mental faculties that God gave to us and all the gifts and the education and all the things that God has allowed us to have. We need to give God the glory because he provides all things. That's why it shouldn't be a big deal for us to give to God, to give our tithe and give to missions and to sacrifice for God, because it's all God's anyways. And then God entrusts some of us with it, and he only asks 10% back in return. Well, isn't that an Old Testament thing? Well, it's something that was done in the Old Testament, but also we see it given in the New. And that is not something, well, that is the law. Remember something, Abraham gave tithes before the law. It's important to remember that. And that giving of sacrifices was from all through the book of Genesis. And that he gave tithes, that was before the law. Then it was commanded in the law. And you know, things that we have to understand is that God commands things and gives laws. Why? Because man wants to forget his responsibility before God. That's why God has his law. God wants us to understand what his law is and understand. But he knew Israel was going to forget. He knew that they were not going to remember all that they were supposed to do. And isn't that what happened? Right after Joshua passes off the scene and all of that generation said they didn't know anything. Didn't know any of the works that God had done in Egypt and done in the wilderness and done for the children of Israel. And they went after other gods. It's amazing how quickly people forget, how quickly a generation can forget. That's why we must be faithful. We shouldn't slack up. We should be faithful in teaching our children what God has done, what God has done in our life, what God is doing in the lives of other people, and what God has done in his word. That is extremely important, that we give God the glory and teach our children what God is doing and what God has done. They rehearsed that. And that was the command of God in the Old Testament, that they were to tell their children when they walked by the way. The Israelites, the Hebrews, they had memorials that they had built to commemorate different things, whether it was a winning of a battle, so they would not forget. And that was instructed to them, hey, when you pass by these memorials, when you pass by this place, hey, tell your children what happened here. Tell them what God did here. Tell them what this person did here, whether they did right or whether they did wrong. You know, we need to give our children positive examples, but also need to give them some negative examples too. Show them what happens to those that don't do right in the sight of God and they disobey God's law, to show them what the result is. It's not a pretty sight many times. But also to show them what the result of doing right is and doing the right thing in the eyes of God. That is very important, to show them both sides of that. So this morning, so let's remember that. And once again, happy Father's Day to our fathers this morning. And we can depend on our Heavenly Father this morning and have fellowship with Him. And I pray that you spent time with Him this morning and you spend time with Him every day, because He loves us and He cares about us and He has a plan for us. He wants to provide for us and He protects us. We should have a relationship with Him and not just coming every Sunday or every Wednesday and speaking or hearing about Him, but speaking with Him every single day, having fellowship with Him, because He wants to have a relationship with you. We ought to desire to have one with Him. Let's pray.